evening, everyone. I've been on the mic before, but I haven't said good evening. Hello, everyone. I hope you are all doing great. Apologies from my wife. The plan was for both of us to come. We really don't want to miss out as a family on what God is doing in our midst. And we value coming as a family, even though our baby is still small. We try to be here, we try to make every effort to be here, and we try not to look for an excuse not to come. So, but our baby has been very difficult this afternoon. We were at a wedding, Peter and Lonel's wedding yesterday. So we've got another couple that just got married in our congregation, which is exciting. But maybe the whole day took its toll on our little baby. But just that you know that my wife really desires to be here. In the end, we made the decision about while prayer meeting was already going on. And yeah, she was just in tears not being able to come. So she really wants to be here, but it was just in the best interest of the whole family that she sits out this one tonight. So she sends her apologies for not being here. Rob and Leonie, they are on leave, the other elders. And then a couple of people are sick and some people are away. So we might be a little bit depleted, but we are moving forward in what God has for us. So last weekend was Easter weekend, so we didn't have a service. We joined up with Dibbenville AM, and some folk went to Brackenfell, and I heard some amazing things happening over Easter weekend in the different Josh Jen congregations. And then, but the weekend before last weekend, I preached on a message titled "A Light to the Darkness," something along those lines, if I remember correctly. And really having a, I felt like the weekend before that, for those that haven't, that's maybe walking in new tonight or don't know where we are as a congregation, we really believe in sensing the Lord is speaking to us as a congregation around going out into this world, being a light to the darkness. I hope you picked it up. Even our worship, we are trying to allow God to speak to us in this way. I need to open up my life and my heart to God to even rework things in my life in order to be a better light for the darkness. And tonight, I didn't intend or plan to make it this way, but I want to actually preach tonight on expose the darkness. So this is turning out to be like a series, and I didn't plan it. So, but if you didn't listen to part one or the first one, it's not like you need to listen to it to understand where I'm going tonight. But it is building on the previous message, which is a light in the darkness. And Mike Davies said something that I was reminded of in worship. In Brazil, last year, when I went with Mike Davies to Brazil on outreach, Mike Davies said the following, if your life is bad news, they won't believe the good news you're trying to tell them. In other words, when we go out and we want to share the gospel with people, people need to actually see the good news in our life. There's no point in trying to tell people good news, but they're looking at our lives and they're thinking bad news. So there's something of our lives. It's not just the message that we declare that needs to be good news. The good news needs to penetrate us. It needs to transform our lives so that our lives become the message of the good news, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then I had a second thought in worship, which wasn't part of my preach, but I haven't seen it, and please don't tell me what happens, because I want to go see the Avengers movie, the last one. But imagine you woke up tomorrow morning. Just use your imagination. We all know this ain't happening, but use your imagination. Imagine you woke up tomorrow morning and you realized that you were chosen to be Spider-Man or Thor or whoever. My question is, if that happened to you, would you feel a sense of responsibility? Or would you just go on life, great to be Spider-Man, never going to be late for work again, or Thor, like, I'm going to use my hammer just to whatever. Like, or would you feel a sense of responsibility, a sense of I'm chosen to bring justice? And I want to say that Avengers and Marvel and those things will never be true. They're but a shallow, but a mere reflection of what God has actually called us as believers to do. We are really chosen by God. And I'm hoping that there is a sense of responsibility that dawns down upon us because we are the chosen ones. We are chosen to bring light into a world that is filled with darkness. Yeah, Lord, I pray tonight as we share, Lord, as we look at your word, Lord, I pray for that sense of responsibility to dawn down upon us. Lord, your word actually says that your burden is light and your yoke is easy. And I pray tonight, Lord, this calling for your church to be the light to the darkness, this calling as believers, God, that we are chosen, that we are Lord, that is not a heavy burden. It is not a difficult yoke that we need to carry. And I pray tonight, God, where any one of us are carrying a heavy burden or we putting on ourselves a yoke that is hard, would you come tonight and rework that? Because your word promises that your burden is light and your yoke is easy. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light, Lord. And I pray, God, that something of that, Lord, would be on us, Lord, as we carry this responsibility, as we realize that we are called by the Lord, that we are chosen to bring light, Lord. I pray, God, for the burdens and the expectations that is man-made to lift, God, but that your burden and your yoke would come down on us, Lord, and that tonight your grace, your enabling power would enable us, God, that you, where the lights are switched off tonight, that you would switch the light on. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Sometimes I think when we hear these messages, we forget that actually God is the one. I just prayed, but it was just, the Holy Spirit just highlighted that for me, that sometimes we put this burden on ourselves that, Christopher, the elders and the comm leaders, they want us to do this and that and that. No, no, no. I think if you're going to carry that burden, the burden's going to be heavy. But if you're going to put on Christ's burden and Christ's yoke upon yourself, actually it's light and it's easy. So I'm trusting for something of that tonight. But I want to start off by reading quite a lengthy portion of Scripture. And I'm not going to necessarily focus on this whole portion. But I love reading. I realize just the Scripture is beautiful. And I love reading longer portions because it helps us to understand when I'm focusing in on something, one aspect, it is nice to see the whole context where it fits in. And I know there's a couple of people here that enjoys also the longer portions of Scripture. So let's turn to, and I would like actually to invite you, if you've got a Bible with you, to open your Bible or to switch on your phone. It will be on there if you don't have it, but I prefer that we use our Bibles. So let's open our Bible in Ephesians 5, verse 1 to 21. Kenan, your ESV, though. Yes. Who's got an ESV and who can read well? I want to save my voice, otherwise I lose it. So I'm gonna ask Kenan to read 21 verses for us because he's got a nice voice, and so I can save my voice. But you can just read through the whole portion.
Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with him. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when everything or when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Pray that your word tonight would fall on fruitful soil, soft soil, God, that our hearts would be ready to receive your word tonight, and that a harvest would come forth because of your word tonight. Not my words, not Keenan's worship song, no. From your word, a harvest would spring forth tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. The key verse that I want to focus on is right in the middle of that portion, is verse 11. It says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Exposing the darkness is what I feel the Lord is highlighting tonight. And it's real exciting for me to talk tonight about what I feel the Lord is highlighting. Who of you have been in a, if you're a believer, who of you have been in a setting where there's been an opportunity where a lot of people, you went around a circle and people shared their testimonies, like how they came to know Jesus Christ. Who of you have been in a setting like that where more than one person shared their testimony? All right, couple of us. Who of you have sat in a setting like that and you maybe it was long ago when you just got saved or whatever. Who of you felt at times, man, my testimony is not as radical as that guy or that. Who of you have ever thought, I wish I had a more radical testimony? Some of you just, recognize that. And every now and again in our walk with God, as believers, we end up talking to one another. Often when I sit down with someone and I don't know them well, when someone joins our congregation or someone comes to look in, one of the questions I first would like to ask them is, tell me your story. Tell me how you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If I sense that they are Christians, if they're not Christians and they're looking in, I'm going to try and win their trust and win their hearts. And I'm going to hopefully eventually either me or someone in our congregation will at some point share the gospel with them. And hopefully they will come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But one of the crucial ways actually in knowing whether someone is truly born again is to listen to their story of how they came to know Jesus Christ. And every now and again, as believers, what happens is, and not everyone maybe relates to this, but what happens is we end up in a circle and we talk about the old me. We talk about like what life was like before we had Jesus. I remember I've been in a couple of conversations where I've told people about my past. I've told them I used to smoke cigarettes. I used to drink. I used to swear. I used to do this and a lot of things. But sometimes I've picked up the conversation actually goes over into a point where it kind of almost sounds like we long back to those days. And that's when it actually becomes unhelpful, unhealthy, is when we looked at our past, at what we once were in an awe kind of way. When we look back, man, I miss the good old days. Sometimes these talks go from the good old days to the old days to the good old days in the way we talk. Instead of just talking of it as the old days, we talk in a sense that we long for it. And I want to... this scripture actually warns us that it is shameful to speak of the things that they do in secret. Now, God is speaking to us as a congregation about being light in the darkness. Now, I'm hoping tonight to actually make this very practical, in how we can be light in the darkness. And I believe the answer is by exposing the darkness. And I'm going to, I believe, actually show us how we can expose the darkness in this day and age. There's a couple of people in our church that I think of when I think of their stories and I think of what they were like. One example, they're not here tonight, they're in Bloemfontein, is Andre and Carmine. If you haven't heard their story, go ask them to tell you. And there's many others, but they come to my mind when you listen to their story and you listen how they came to know Jesus Christ, what they were like before Jesus were in their lives and what they are like now. You would not be able, I promise you, you would not be able to believe that we are talking about the same couple. And many of us can relate to a story like that, that before we got saved and after we got saved, are we the same people? Is it possible? Is such a transformation actually real? Is it possible? Or are we making it up? And I want to tell you that the transformation power of the gospel in our lives is not something we can make up. It's impossible, because the gospel has the power to save us. The gospel has the power to rescue us. And every child of God that is truly born again by the Spirit of God would know, if you are truly born again by the Spirit of God, the transformation of the gospel, you would know that it's about this one thing. I wasn't able by self-discipline to fix my life. I wasn't able by self-discipline to make myself right with God. If you are truly born again by the Spirit of God, you would know one thing: unconditional love. You would know that you got exposed to a love, a mercy, and a grace you did not deserve. And tonight, if you actually sit here tonight, and this is not part of where I want to go, but if you sit here tonight and you have any sense of, you know, I've kind of achieved this, I've worked for this, I've attended church, I've did this and this, I've attended comm. If you tonight in any sense feel like you deserve to be in the presence of God, or if you in any way feel like you deserve God's forgiveness, actually you need to repent, because none of us deserve God's forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says the following: all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Say the word "all" with me. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, I've been in a couple of those circles where people share their testimonies. And sometimes it ends up being like a mini salvation contest. Who's got the best testimony? And I've actually been in circles where one guy said, I want to go last because I think my testimony is the most radical. And actually, I wanted to say to him, rubbish. Because all of us are saved by the grace and the loving kindness and the mercy of Jesus Christ. You see, if you are a religious person, you need the grace and the forgiveness of God just as much as the rebellious person. You see, sometimes we think that religion warrants less forgiveness. Yeah, I've got my ducks in a row. I'm not wasting my money at the casino. I'm not doing this. Sometimes we think like having our ducks in a row means that we have more favor with God. No. All of us fall short of the glory of God. All of us need the grace, the kindness, the forgiveness of Jesus himself. Amen. If the guy who lies about his tax needs as much forgiveness as the guy who cheated on his wife, the person with a drinking problem needs forgiveness just like the guy who rapes women and children. And I know this, that might, like, you can't say that, Christopher. No, before a holy God, telling a little white lie is as bad as raping a woman. Now, the consequences of this sin might be different because... But before a holy God, sin is sin. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us. Now, Paul is writing to believers. He says, for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. Paul is saying, and a little bit later, he goes on in that passage and he says, He talks about Jesus being the substitute, how Jesus died for, how Jesus became the sin of the world, having never known sin himself. Jesus never sinned, and Jesus died on the cross. And I'm not going to zoom in on the theological side of that, but you need to know that the Jesus dying on the cross is not something anyone in this place deserves. The forgiveness, the grace, the new life in Christ that we get when Jesus comes to be our Lord and Savior. It's not something anyone in this room can claim, I deserved it, I worked for it, I got it because I'm a good person. I love this. You can put the scripture back on 2 Corinthians 5:14. One has died for all, therefore all have died. Paul is saying that as a believer, he looks through, his eyes do not see, his eyes, every person that his eyes see is a person that Christ died for. He says, I conclude this, Jesus died for all. Therefore, I look at every person as someone that Jesus died for. And that's his motivation, and that's why he can say, for the love of Christ controls me. I'm able to love the rapist. I'm able to love the unlovable, the sinners. I'm able to love them. Why? Because I've concluded this, that Jesus has died for everyone. I want to focus on two sentences in that long Ephesians 5 that Kenan read for us. Verse 11 and verse 12. Ephesians 5, 11 and 12. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. In other words, God doesn't want us, first and foremost, it's really important that we do not become partners with unbelievers. In other words, as a born-again Christian, first step is to get your own life, to if you submit your life to Christ, He will transform your life. There's no doubt about it. But once you are renewed, reborn, transformed by Jesus, once you are made a new creation, you've got a responsibility to keep yourself pure, to stay away from sin, to stay away from the unfruitful works of darkness. Like I said in the beginning, Mike Davies said, when God is right now highlighting us as a church being a light to the darkness, exposing the darkness, the first step is to get our own lives right before God. There's no point in trying to tell the world good news while our lives are bad news. In other words, we've got to get rid of those little niggles and sinning things in our lives that we hide away, but we've got to step into the light and say, God, forgive me for my sins. That's the first step. But that's the first step how we become a light, how we expose the darkness, is we expose our own darkness. We expose our own skeletons in our own closets. You see, because everyone out there, everyone in the world, they've got skeletons in their closet. Or because it says, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no one in this life, in this world, that can say, my closet is clean, I'm perfect. Not even Christians. And so the first step how we as a church become light is by exposing our own darkness. It's going, and there's various ways. First, you've got to repent before the Lord because He's the one that forgives you. But secondly, you go to a brother and you say, I want to confess my sins. I want to share with you that I've messed up. Will you pray for me? Will you, that I can receive God's forgiveness? And God does not withhold forgiveness from anyone that truly repents. And then, as a born-again believer, how, and this is to make what I believe God is saying to us as a church really, really, really practical, is that I want to say we need to boast in our salvation. We need to boast in our salvation. And I'm going to just share with you how Paul thought, how he boasted in his salvation. Like some of us have got a bad past, like real, like we really messed up. But all of us actually have a bad past. But some of us are like, so it's so bad that you don't want to go back there. But I actually believe all of us need to boast in our salvation, and we boast in our salvation by telling people how God saved us. And I believe that every person that is born again has a radical testimony. If you are sitting here tonight and you do not believe you have a radical testimony to tell, then I think you have misunderstood the grace of God. And I'm not saying that in a way to make you feel bad, but if you are a sinner and you realize what it took God to forgive you, you would be radical, regardless of what your past looked like. You would be very glad to share how you came to know Jesus Christ. Whether you were the religious person that has all your ducks in a row, or whether you were the rebellious guy that never listened to anyone, did your own thing, smoked weed, dacha, drugs, did all those kind of things, or whether you're just the person that had everything in a row, that person and that person needed God equally. I think I'm trying to convey that, and I'm hoping that comes across. That means that everyone that is born again has a radical testimony. There's no one that is born again that doesn't have a radical testimony. I'm hoping that penny drops tonight. You don't need drugs to have a radical testimony. You need Jesus to have a radical testimony. 1 Timothy 1 verse 14, verse 15. Look at how I love just Paul. He's not bragging, but he's got a, Paul was a very religious man. He wasn't the rebellious guy. We might think he was rebellious because he killed Christians. No, he killed Christians because he thought he was doing God a favor. He was a zealous Jewish leader. But he says, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Paul is not bragging and saying, I am the biggest sinner. No. What Paul is saying, that at the revelation of Jesus Christ, and when the light shines on a darkened heart, when the light of the gospel shines on the life of a sinner, all of us will be able to say that the saying is of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came to save the world, and I am the biggest sinner. When the light of the gospel shines on a sinner, all of us should be able to say, I am the biggest sinner that I know. And to be honest, I don't know a bigger sinner than me, because my sin separated me from God. But I love what Paul does. When he tells his testimony, when he writes about his testimony, he doesn't with joy go into the details of his past. No, he speaks of, and he makes much of the salvation that is through Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you two examples where Paul speaks of his testimony. All right? Ephesians 2 verse 1 to 5. Paul is speaking of his own life in a sense. You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Listen to this. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Paul's not conveying the details of his old life, but he is boasting in his salvation. He is telling that I was dead in my former life, but now through Christ, through the love of God, I am made alive, and you can be too. Titus 3 verse 3 to 5 is another example where Paul is talking about his own life. He says, we, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and in envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. You see, Paul was a guy that continually revisited his past. And by as believers, by when we continually revisit our past, we will boast more and more and more in the work that God has done for us. And we don't have to go into the we don't have to in every conversation or every time we're trying to tell someone of how amazing God is. We don't have to go into all the details. We can boast in our salvation by telling people, the old me, I cannot believe what God has done for me to bring me where I am today. And I believe we actually boast in Christ by boasting in our salvation. When you go on that weekend away with a mixture of friends and unbelievers, when you're invited to a braai on a Saturday night, when you're spending and eating lunch with your work colleagues, every opportunity, every moment like that is an opportunity for you to boast in Christ. And by boasting in Christ, you can actually use that opportunity to boast about yourself. Because I want to suggest this evening that by making much of our salvation, we make much of who God is. There's a saying that goes that we are worshiping all the time. The question is just, who or what are we worshiping? I want to say we are boasting all the time. The question is just, whom or in what do we boast? Are we boasting in that new bicycle that we got? Are we boasting in that new car that we're driving? Are we boasting in that new house? Are we boasting in our new jeans? Or are we boasting in Manchester United that is winning again? Or are we boasting what? There's so many things. We are boasting all the time. Think of that conversation that you had with an unbeliever. You spoke about something. For goodness, you maybe even boasted about the weather. But are we boasting in Christ? Are we boasting in Christ? Jeremiah 9, verse 23, verse 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. God is saying that we should not boast in wisdom, that we are faithful with our money. Those are good things. God is saying that we should not boast in that we are influential, that we've got favor with people, and those are also good things. God is saying, thirdly in that scripture, we should not boast in our riches, in our wealth, that we've got our ducks in a row, that we've got a nice life for ourselves settled here, even though that is also a good thing. No, let the man who boasts boast in this, that he knows and understands the Lord. Galatians 6 verse 14, again Paul is saying, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I want to suggest that the way that we are a light in the darkness, or the way that God is going to use our lives to expose the darkness of this world, is when we step out and we tell people of our own darkness and how we got saved into light. I think the primary way that God is actually going to use us to bring light is how we tell people how the light came into us. We can start a soup kitchen for the poor, and that will bring a measure of light. There's many things we can do But I believe the primary way that we, that you and me and each one of us, that we can go out and be light is by going out and telling people our stories, telling people our testimonies, telling people that I was once a foolish person. I got saved. My life has been radically touched by God. God can do this the same for you. I believe that's the primary way that God wants to use us. Not by clever intellectual, like, yes, let's interpret the Bible this way. Let's look at all the Greek words of the Bible. I can tell you about Calvinistic theology. I can tell you about deep theology. I listened to this in this podcast. You should go listen. No, no, no. The best way that God is going to use your life to bring light to darkness is your own life story. And I want to conclude and I want to remind you like what I said in the beginning. If you are bought by the blood of Jesus, you have a radical testimony. There's no one that is bought by the blood of Jesus can say, my testimony is not radical. If you feel like that, I want you to respond a bit later. I want to pray for, because I do think that some of us struggle, like my testimony is inferior to others because I didn't have all these wild things in my past. No, no, no. In our world, religion is as bad as rebellion. And both need Jesus. And I think the area that we live in, more people think they are good than what they are not. More people think they are okay when they're not. That is religion. They need Jesus. Religion doesn't save. Sin doesn't save. Jesus saves. Romans 1 verse 16. The power, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What better way to tell someone? Because people want proof. When you tell someone, when you tell someone something, they want, if it's something outrageous, they're going to ask you, like an example. My father-in-law is a gullible guy. Someone once sent him, they found the Ten Commandments on the moon or something like that. And he was like seriously telling me, like, this is real. God, isn't God amazing? And I'm like, what? No, they found the Ten Commandments engraved on the moon or on Mars or somewhere. And I'm like, show me that. And it wasn't long for me, and I didn't need a lot of homework to figure out this was a hoax. This wasn't true. When you're trying to tell something outrageous, like my life changed, when you're telling people the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's no better proof than your own life that is touched, transformed, and changed by the blood of Jesus.